such a large part in the company's success. Love that part about Palmer Group. They are a hiring manager. They are looking for candidates. They're looking to help candidates. They're looking to help businesses try to find candidates. They have in all the different industries, they have accounting and finance, admin and customer service, construction, engineering, manufacturing, human resource, information technology, marketing and sales, mortgage and banking. They do it all. They do it well. And it's my pleasure to have in here today is Brian Glass. He is Director of Information Technology. Brian, how is your Wednesday?
It is great. Great. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Thanks for coming on. I have a special place in my heart for Palmer Group. I've been friends with Austin Palmer for a long time. Know what kind of individual he was. Also friends with David as well, and am very excited because I actually have my middle son works for Palmer Group, and to see the excitement on his face after a day's work as a father, you I couldn't be happier. So welcome. One of the things that we were going to talk about today is, you know, what Palmer Group can do. We just had something, Brian, that nobody really thought could ever happen, and that is to have a COVID situation that totally turned everybody's jobs upside down. What kind of things can Palmer Group do to help people get through this?
Sure, right. So, yeah, the pandemic, right, that really turned everyone upside down there for those 2 years, and we were really still seeing some of the effects of that as we come out of it a little bit. You know, our what we can do to help candidates is really give them kind of help them identify kind of their skills, their interests and goals for that next opportunity, right? Being in the information technology field, you know, we deal with those professionals that were already kind of high demand even prior to the pandemic. And what we tell them to do when they're looking for a new opportunity is to really research what that new opportunity looks like, you know, for them, right? Take the time, if they're looking for a new opportunity, if they get displaced for some reason, to find, you know, a company or a culture that really fits within their goals and interests, and then leverage their networks, quite frankly, right? So we all have these great networks out there in the world, and LinkedIn's a great tool for that, where you could see who is connected to who. Because what we know through our research and surveys is that, you know, hiring managers get a lot of resumes coming at them on a daily basis, right? And most of those candidates may not be the best fit for those opportunities. So how do you differentiate yourself to kind of put your name or your resume at the top of that pile? And you can do that by leveraging your network, right? So knowing somebody who's connected to somebody that can do the introduction and really kind of differentiate you from everyone else. And that's really you know, if you can do that consistently, you know, game over. You're going to get those opportunities to interview and hopefully, you know, get that dream job that you've been looking for.
And once again, the uniqueness here is the fact that you're helping both sides. So you know what one side is looking for. And the best part is for everybody that's looking for a job, Palmer Group can help you, bring you in, and they can help you refine the things that they know that this person's looking for. What, I mean, you couldn't ask for bigger help than that.
Absolutely, right? And that's really what it comes down to. You know, a lot of people, you know, sometimes, you know, they might apply for a job, you know, online, but again, you're just kind of one of thousands of people that are applying for that job. So what can you do and how can we help you, you know, set yourself apart in that regard? And that's where we really take time to, again, get to know you, get to know what you can do, what you want to do, and what your long-term aspirations are. And then we work with our clients to understand what is it you're really looking for in a quality employee and make that match, right? So that's really what, you know, I think sets us apart here. And even if we don't place you as a candidate, you know, you're going to walk away with some really great insight and advice and some tools you can use for your job search.
And that's part of this, part of my thought process on this too, and why I was drawn to Palmer Group was what you just said there. Even if we can't get you there, we've helped you. We've right. Maybe we've gotten you over a hump. Maybe the one or two things that you've tried before, you seem nervous, or you seemed on edge a little bit during an interview, or maybe you just said a couple of things that you know weren't the right things, and you get them comfortable. The most important thing that you could do in a job interview, I've always been told, you have to feel comfortable with yourself.
Yes, absolutely. And that, you know, that's easier said than done for a lot of people, right? I mean, that's you know, kind of a personality trait sometimes. So we can help coach you through that too. Like if we identify some skills in you and let you know, hey, you have this ability, that gives you confidence. So you can go in and say, look, I, based on what you're telling me, Mr. and Mrs. Manager, I have done this and I can do this. And oh, by the way, I want to do this in the future if you can help me get there. And that, you know, if I'm a hiring manager and I hear that, plus I got your name from a reference or a referral of someone that you knew that reached out to me, then again, it's game over. We're going to have a great relationship and hopefully a long-term, you know, employee, you know, candidate partnership.
What is the job market? And once again, we are talking to Brian Glass, Director of Information Technology for Palmer Group. What kind of job market right now is out there for the information technology field?
It's active, right? I mean, you know, information technology, as I mentioned, it was an active field prior to the pandemic. You know, they say that every company is a technology company these days, and it's very true. You know, if you're not innovating, you're falling behind. So there's just a ton of opportunity out there for IT professionals. And I would say now, maybe more than ever, I'm seeing companies, you know, give folks that want to get into that field, you know, opportunity. Hey, look, if they're good character, they fit with our culture, and they are a continuous learners, they want to learn new things all the time, we will invest in training and opportunity for those folks and give them a shot, because there is such a need. And, you know, there was a shortage of IT professionals, as I said, before the pandemic, and that has not changed. There's still a ton of opportunity out there everywhere. And I think the other big difference is, you know, as we recruit here locally in Iowa, we're seeing, you know, opportunities all over the country, right? As companies move to hybrid models and remote models, you know, if you have a company that's wanting to hire an IT professional and they're okay with remote people, then, you know, those people have that opportunity both here and abroad. So it's been really, really interesting to watch.
Brian, what does it mean to you to be a part of an employee-owned company?
I'm an owner, right? So I feel like an owner. We act like owners. I mean, I just love the fact that, you know, anything we do here, you know, out in the marketplace represents myself as well as Palmer Group. And I think that's part of it too. You know, we say kind of protect the P out there. Like, you're out there interacting, networking events, those types of things, these types of interactions. You know, this is my company, and it's a really good feeling to be a part of something like that.
Does that, you know, because when I first read that, and knowing some of the people that work there, it's almost like you can tell just by talking to them, because it's not, they don't force Palmer Group. When you're just in open conversation, they don't force Palmer Group. It flows. Like it's like they're talking about their son or daughter, but it's Palmer Group, and it gives you such a leg up sometimes, because that's the most difficult thing. You know, I've gone through the hiring process trying to find people, and you want to be able to connect with them. And I always have this feeling after I get done with an interview, either my own or so, I'm like, I don't think I connected. So I don't think that turned out well. You know, when you have people that are so interlocked with the company, it makes you come across as more comfortable. And I think that helps the people that you're trying to help.
Absolutely. I mean, I think every company wants their employees to feel connected to the company, right? They want them to feel pride for the company and the work that they're doing. And being an employee-owned company, that it's almost automatic. Like, you know, as soon as you walk in or become eligible to be an employee owner, they tell you, this is now your company. You are a shareholder in this company. So own that, you know, and embrace that. And that's, you know, that's really, you know, I would say the biggest difference between an employee-owned company and a, you know, a regular company. So it's, yeah, I mean, it really instilled that in you. This is your company. This is your business. Now help us grow it.
Once again, we're talking to Brian Glass. He's Director of Information Technology. The biggest of all the different aspects of Palmer Group, the fastest growing one right now is?
Probably information technology, but I would say all our divisions are experiencing really, really great growth right now. I mean, It's been gangbusters, even during, the tail end of, 2020, 2021, we have been nonstop. So, IT, it's a booming field. We've been very blessed and fortunate for the opportunities that we've gotten, but I would say that's still probably our most active.
Okay, so here's one of the things that I've been, not by Palmer Group, but by the person who runs my life, my wife. I don't get personal enough sometimes. So, Brian, not only do we care about Palmer Group, but we also care about you. So we want to, my audience wants to know something about you as well. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Well, I am a transfer, right? So I was born and raised on the south side of Chicago, grew up as a Sox fan and converted to a Cubs fan at a very early age. So I am the only white collar worker in my family. All the rest are blue collar workers, and they're still stuck in Illinois, as I say. I moved to Iowa back in 2000, met an Iowa girl, and trying to pull an Iowa girl out of Iowa is pretty tough. So want to plant my roots here, and I've been here ever since. And I love it here. It's a great place to live and raise a family.
It's not a horrible place to go home to. To go back to Chicago. Come on. That's not a bad thing whatsoever. Okay, so a Cubs fan, does that make you a Bulls fan? Does that make you a Bears fan?
Yeah. So I grew up in the 80s. I'm an 80s kid and grew up during the Jordan era. So it was the 85 Bears. It was the late 80s, early 90 Bulls. I can't say much about the Cubs during that time, but those are always great games to go to anyway. But yeah, it was a great sports town back in that day, and it was wonderful, and got to see a lot of great. I met Walter Payton one time in Chicago. That was quite the experience, and it was a great place to grow up for sure.
Now here's the kicker, and I have to be careful about this too. I mean, I have allegiance, but your allegiance in the state of Iowa is the Hawkeyes or the Cyclones?
Oh man, so I'm gonna split. So okay, here's when I first moved here. When I first moved to Iowa, I moved into the Cedar Rapids area. So everyone there is a Hawkeye fan. So I was there during the final days of the Hayden era and the Tim Dwight era, and I was all in for them. But then I got transferred to Des Moines, and I figured, well, Iowa State's closer to Des Moines, so I'm gonna start supporting them during the McCartney years. So I did that. So I'm truly a tweener. What I found really unique here is how, like, in Chicago, you have your teams, but then, when they're not playing each other, we root for other Chicago or Illinois teams. Well, here, if you're not in one camp or the other, you're rooting against them. So that was kind of a unique thing for me. But I really enjoy both programs. I know that's kind of a political answer, but I'm closer to Ames, so I like to go to those more often than Hawkeye games.
There you go. And that suits me fine. I'll just leave it at that. we got about three more minutes. 10 years from now, you see Palmer Group as?
A regional employment services powerhouse. Yep, I see us, all over the Midwest. We are expanding already into different markets, and I see us growing in those markets and new ones.
And since I'm staring now across from my young Palmer Group employee, Andrew, if you have somebody like Brian say that to be a regional company like that, you got to be pretty excited about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's already kind of going that way. So, yeah, I mean, right foot's forward, and
can you guys? Yep, we can at you.
Okay, yeah, I couldn't tell if I was being heard or not. But you put it great, BG. Put it, yeah.
Thanks.
But yeah, I just thought I'd get you in the conversation. Don't look at me like I did something wrong.
Yeah.
Threw you to the wolves really quick. of some of these, some of the other opportunities out there, the one that intrigues me, a lot of them, I mean, I get information technology, how big that is. The manufacturing part gets me pretty excited. Even last night, Andrew talking about some of the companies that he just started this on Monday and got to go see a couple of companies. Manufacturing in the state of Iowa is pretty high tech.
Yep, it's huge, and it's getting even bigger. And I think our state leaders are doing a really good job of highlighting that. I think, I can't remember the term, but it's like manufacturing like 2.0 or 4.0 or something like that. But there's a lot of great things going on in our manufacturing companies here in Iowa. And we're obviously a part of that, helping them. But there's just not enough skilled talent to fill those jobs. So there's a really large effort to get that training into schools specifically for those jobs, so the younger generation understands what those opportunities look like, so they can take advantage of them. So we're starting that process now as a state, and I think in time we'll be really, really well off. But yeah, that the manufacturing sector, especially here in Iowa, is booming.
It is. We did a advertising for the skilled trade at the fairgrounds, and giving some of these students a alternative sometimes to going to college, to find these trades that pay so well that they're not, you know, they don't understand it. And you know, that's the toughest thing in the world to do, is to get people to understand opportunity, because they're told one way, but it's not always the right way.
Right. And I think there might be a little bit of a sea change there. I mean, you know, I think young people are looking at alternatives to, you know, maybe a 4-year degree, for example. I think there is a ton of opportunity for the trade schools and you know, the more of the specialized skilled training to get people in the workforce sooner without that student debt. Right. We're talking a lot about the student loan debt, you know, nationally and I'm sure locally also. So there's definitely a lot of education going on there, and you know, who knows what the, you know, next 3 to 5 years is going to bring. But I would think there might be more of those young people getting into those jobs. So,
Brian, I appreciate you coming on today. Hopefully you'll come on again. It's always fun to talk Palmer Group.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Thank you very much. Brian Glass, Information Director of Information Technology. He did really good.
He did.
He rocked it, man. He was doing it. You're listening to Steen on Sports on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Be right back.
Here's a look at traffic on 101.3 and Nation. Connect with Steen on Sports at 1700thechamp.com. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Wednesday. Hope everybody had a great day. We are well past hump day. We are way closer to the weekend than we are to a Monday. So that means that's a good thing. You are listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ, at Steen on Sports, at Andrew Steenblock. 75. Why did I come up with 13?
Not too sure.
I am not too sure either. Boy, that was bad. That's bad on my part. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ. The website 1700thechamp.com. This segment will be brought to you by Heritage Building Maintenance. They're founded in the Midwest. They provide quality, health-centric building maintenance and janitorial services throughout central Iowa and the Midwest. I always like this one, why we do it. Our job directly impacts the health and well-being of the occupants of a building. We believe the contract cleaning industry should provide the first line of defense in proper health care. We are industry leaders in implementing health-focused innovation and technology. They provide a peace of mind and protection for the future of your buildings and its occupants. They're a health-centric company that helps them in providing innovative building maintenance janitorial services. They're driven by technology and are just right on future focus to make sure that everything that they're doing is helping you and your company feel safe in your building in order to do what you need to do. Once again, I want to thank Heritage Building Maintenance for being a part of the program. We're going to do many more things with Heritage. It's our biggest thing is to figure out some of the different avenues we want to do, is to find time for their busy individuals and my busy schedule to really sit down and see what we want to hone in on, what they want to do. This is what I know they want to do. They want to help you help your employees feel safe coming back to work in these difficult times. No matter what, we now understand what a pandemic can be. And I think the one thing that we all can understand is we don't want to be in another one. So everything that we can do leading up to that keeps us away from that. So, good day. Got your car back today.
That's the big one of the week.
That is the big one of the week. I can get rid of my little cracker box car that I've been driving, so you could drive mine. Yeah. But you have yours back today, so we're pretty excited.
Can I even drive the rental? I'm not 25 yet.
No, so you cannot. That's why I'm driving the rental, because I am 25. I'm like 27. Chicago Bulls are facing elimination tonight without Zach LaVine
and without Caruso.
That's going to be in Milwaukee. If it was in Chicago, I think I'd give them a chance. In Milwaukee is going to be pretty tough. Even with Milwaukee not having Chris Middleton, them not having Zach LaVine, that's not even an even thing. I mean, I think that hurts the Bulls more than it hurts the Bucks.
Yeah, and it's been the season-long story for the Bulls, you know, between injuries, and if they're not injured, they just don't perform the best when they're playing the best teams in the league. I mean, I think that when they were playing, you know, playoff contenders all throughout the season, they lost well more than they won. I mean, they won the games that they needed to, but, you know, when the stage was set and they were playing a solid team, they just couldn't get the job done.
And I think that's a key to a lot of teams. I think you see that a lot in the NFL. There's some NFL teams that are in the middle, and they devour those lower teams like the upper echelon teams do, but then the upper echelon teams devour those middle teams. I don't know if I think that Jimmy Butler is an upper echelon player in the NBA. But when he was in Chicago, I think he struggled with that. And I think that's the biggest thing. Chicago doesn't have, they don't have somebody that you or I could walk into their huddle and say, okay, I need to score. We need to score. And we're going to run a play for this dude. They really don't have that dude. And the teams that are going to move on, and the further they get, or the closer they get to the championship game, the more that you're going to see the teams that has the dude or a couple of dudes that can do that. And that's what wins in the NBA.
Yeah. And I think that, I mean, the Bulls did a pretty good job. I mean, between, you know, DeRozan, Vucevic, and LaVine. I mean, those were the three guys that were, I mean, they each could have given you 20 points a game. And then sometimes, you know, if LaVine might score 15, Vucevic is going to score maybe, you know, 20. Then DeRozan will go off for 40, 45 points.
Yep. And that's when good things happen.
But they're just not going to happen every single game.
Right. And you know, hindsight is always 20/20, right? So even if you're the LA Lakers, Brandon Ingram's become a star. Before Lonzo Ball got hurt, he was becoming a star. And not a star like I'm going to score 20 points a game, but being a star of playing tough defense and making some brilliant passes and leading a team.
Yeah, he's just a well-rounded point guard. Yes. I think the Lakers really needed. But at the time, I mean, they just had all these young contracts. Yep.
It was the only thing that they had as leverage to go. Mm-hmm. Right. And you have to look at it that way. And you and I have had this conversation that when you're the Los Angeles Lakers, LeBron James is 37. He's going to turn 38. Not many basketball players, even as good a shape as he's in, are going to survive an 82-game schedule at 40 years old, especially with the type of punishment that he takes. You know, the biggest question mark going in was grabbing Anthony Davis and thinking, okay, I know the history, but I also know that he's one of the top 10 players in the league. So if we can help the history... And when he didn't have to travel, and, you know, I get that these guys fly on private planes, and they have things. They're still 7 feet tall, and they're in an airplane. Mm-hmm. You know, and some of that's it's just a lot of things. If right now, this was the big one today. So Jay Wright retires from Villanova. There's nothing more that Jay Wright could do in the NCAA. He's won two national championships at Villanova. Number one, not an easy school to get kids into. Number two, plays in the Big East, so you're not playing in one of the Power Fives. And he still has his team in the Final Fours and winning championships. But there comes a point in time that you say, okay, how many more times can I do this? I'm 60. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I'm 56, and he looks like he's 40, not 60. So he's still got – there's still stuff left in his tank, and he's going to go. He's going to go back to the NBA. And these were the two jobs today, and I couldn't wait to get you to fill in the answer here. You could go to L.A. He has a relationship with LeBron because of the Olympics. Or you could go to San Antonio that has – Popovich is getting ready to retire. He has a relationship with Pop. He has a relationship with some of the players, and it's an up-and-coming team who, you know, at the end of the year was really getting close and I think got to play in a play-in game. If you were Jay Wright and you had to do that, what would you do?
I mean, I'm sure there's some, you know, under the table. Like, they probably know what's going on in L.A. more than I would, but you're not going to go into L.A. not knowing what's going to happen a year from there. Like, you know, like, LeBron's not going to be there. You're kind of getting yourself into a brand new situation and you have no idea what's going to, you know, come from it. So, but in the same sense, I mean, you know, going over to San Antonio, trying to follow up the legacy that Pop brought, I guess I don't know if that's important to him, but right. It's definitely on people's mind, I'd say.
But Pop hasn't, they haven't been as relevant, but they've also been flipping over. I think that they've actually done it. They may have not done it in the quickest way, but they've done it in the right way. They're under the salary cap. They have good young players. I can't remember the – it's like Devontae or Javante. Yeah, very good player. Have some great role players there. It's just interesting because, you know, he said, I'm not going to go back. I don't know where you would – I don't know where he would go in college basketball if it wasn't Villanova. He's not going to go – you know, Duke's not open. North Carolina's not open. I don't think, but going to the NBA and I think the stability and the ownership group and the management group that are in San Antonio fits a guy like Jay Wright who, and living in San Antonio for half the year isn't a bad deal.
Yeah. I mean, if it was me personally, I mean, I love the Lakers, but that's a tough ship to jump into right now.
You know, and it's one that, they're in salary cap Hector, and you know you have a dysfunctional at best front office because of Clutch Sports or whatever, whichever one that is, and I don't know.
And I mean, I personally was a fan of Frank Vogel. I mean, what he was able to do, you know, in that 2020, you know, getting them that championship, he was dealt a pretty crappy hand this year. I mean, he had to figure out starting lineups every single game. I mean, I think that they had more starting lineups than they had wins this year. And, you know, you can't really put it all on the coach, but there's got to be, you know, some scapegoat. So,
yeah. And I think there's some teams out there too. I thought about this, that when the Sacramento Kings traded Tyrese Halliburton, they didn't get that much for Tyrese Halliburton.
I mean, Sabonis is, I mean, he's an all-star.
He is an all-star. But I mean, I think if teams would have thought, okay, he Indiana got him for what? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, he's not that he's a ton younger, but he's a lot. He's at least 7 years younger than Sabonis. Mm-hmm. But right now, if you look at the how the draft order is going to go, there's a pretty good chance that Keegan Murray could go to the Pacers and have Keegan Murray and Tyrese Halliburton two pretty big kids that can play a whole bunch of positions. That could be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think that the Pacers put themselves in a pretty good place. I mean, again, I still do not get why the Kings traded away Tyrese.
I have no idea.
It was their lottery pick. Because
he wanted to be there. Yeah. That's the thing.
Yeah, and you don't see that too often. That's how he's like, I mean, he tweeted. He would say it after every game, you know, Sacramento, this is my home. Like, I'm going to build something here.
Yep. And it took me by surprise too. The other game tonight's the Nuggets and the Warriors. The Nuggets without
Jamal Murray or Michael Porter Jr.
Right.
For that matter.
Yeah, it's a tough task. And the league is hoping that the Golden State Warriors don't start clicking even more than they already have. I mean, they lost the game the other night. I don't think they were vastly worried being up 3-0 that they lost a game.
Right. And you have the Monte Morris hell of a player. He's not going to score 30 points every game. You know, it's
you know, there's a lot of teams out there, and I do the same thing with the people for David Montgomery and for Breece Hall. Monte Morris fits in that too. These are kids that do one thing, do the very best that they do, and they never make mistakes that hurt their team. I mean, that's what you're getting with Breece Hall. I mean, you're getting a younger, probably a smidge more talented David Montgomery. I mean, that's a pretty good thing.
Yeah.
I mean, and Monte Morris is he loves Denver. Mm-hmm. He has a niche in what he does. He's under the radar, so he doesn't, you know, even if he does mess up, it's not out, you know, it's not front page news. Mm-hmm. It's not the first person people go to blame. I think he's got a good thing. It's the same with George right now, Niang in Philadelphia. Now, sometimes he gets some because they're like, you know, George always, he always gets the bad part of, well, he's just not athletic. Mm-hmm. Man, I watched him do things at Iowa State at his size that he should never been able to do. You have to be athletic to do that.
Yeah. I think that what I've seen on, you know, just being on NBA Twitter, it's that everyone kind of comes to the consensus that Tyrese Haliburton, Monte Morris, George Niang, they're just in the right place at the right time.
Like absolutely.
Every single, like, they the IQ that they have on the court, it's, you know, it's not teachable, and they just go in there and they flow so well, and I'm glad to see my Cyclones in the NBA still.
Talen Horton-Tucker compared to Tyrese Haliburton, the difference, Tyrese Haliburton protects the ball. He doesn't turn the ball over, and
he's a little bit more under control too. Yeah. I mean, not that, you know, THT is, you know, all over the place.
I think THT has a chance to be a really good player. I mm-hmm. think he's not getting the right kind of nourishment mm-hmm. in Laker land, but I don't know. Maybe he tries him, you know, something different. Then you're going to move on. Let me flip my page here. You're going to have you're going to have the 76ers Raptors game.
Oh, Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers.
Here's one thing that and you know that your mom and I have history with Nick Nurse. Nick's an amazingly good coach.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't have Philadelphia's talent, but he's coaching circles around Doc Rivers, love Doc Rivers.
Yeah, and they didn't even have Fred VanVleet the last game that they played.
And they still almost won that game.
They won that game.
Yeah, well, they did win that game. And Philadelphia's up 3-2. It's in Toronto. That is tomorrow night's game. I don't know how I see that game going. Yeah. I think Phoenix got lucky to beat the Pelicans the other night. I think both of those games go 3-3, and then they get a seventh game. But Philadelphia and Phoenix gets those games at home. But, man, I'd be worried.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and Embiid says it, I mean, exactly how it is. I mean, he said it a year ago with Ben Simmons. He's saying it right now with Harden. It's just that they got to be more aggressive. They can't be timid. You can't be James Harden putting up 10 shots.
Who is that James Harden?
Right.
Is that the James Harden that he is now? I don't know what happened. Yeah. I mean, I don't understand that James Harden. We'll when we come back, we'll talk about the Mavericks and the Jazz. They're at the same spot. The Mavericks have a chance to go to Utah and get that win and get some rest. Would be good for them with Doncic not being healthy as he should be. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 in Champaign. Andrew and I will be back right after this break.
101.3 FM and 1700 The Champ is Des Moines' home for professional play-by-play. Every Kansas City Chiefs and NFL primetime game live on terrestrial radio. We also have your baseball covered with the Minnesota Twins. Hey, and don't forget the legendary Jim Rome, weekdays from 11 to 2, and the UNI Panthers. For a complete schedule, visit 1700thechamp.com. 1700 The Champ, now on the FM dial at 101.3. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in. Last segment already. Holy cow. This radio stuff goes fast.
Flying through.
You are listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ, at Steen on Sports, at Andrew Steenblock. 75. I have no idea where I got 13 from. That's crazy. Facebook's at 1700thechamp and the website 1700thechamp.com. Once again, I want to thank sponsors of the show, Palmer Group, DeMoss, Des Moines Orthopedic, Northwest Bank, Heritage Building Maintenance, Woodman Controls, BetMGM. Couldn't do the show without them. Appreciate everything that they are doing. Gosh, it's almost Thursday already. That's crazy. Mavericks Jazz. So it goes back home to Utah. No Mitchell. Still out. Or maybe, I think he's going to try to give it a try.
Yeah, I think he's going to try and give it a go. Yep.
But still, I don't know. That's I watched a lot of that game the other night. And I watch Doncic and Jokic a lot. They don't look like they should play in the NBA. Sometimes they look really slow, but man, they can score, they can pass, they rebound. It's incredible how good those two are.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's just the European.
I don't even know how to explain it.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. They're phenomenons. I mean, it shouldn't work.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, because you go back in time with mine, and you have people that say Moses Malone, Bob Lanier. I mean, those guys couldn't dribble the ball up the court. Mm-hmm. They couldn't play outside the three-point line. Moses Malone, any of those guys. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I didn't watch, you know, obviously the NBA in the 80s, but is it not like a comp to like Larry Bird style where like he doesn't look, I mean, he was a little bit slower just on like what I've seen, you know,
right,
highlight-wise.
Larry Bird was such an incredible Larry Bird was a better athlete than what people gave him credit for as well. A bad back mm-hmm. knocked him out, but he still played at a high level. And the difference right now between Larry Bird and those two guys was his brain. Mm-hmm. He wasn't a nice guy, not on the basketball court. Mm-hmm. He might have been the Hick from French Lick when he was outside, but on the court he was a killer.
Yeah. The reason why I draw the comp is just because they both made it, or all three of them, just make it look so effortless.
Yeah, I mean his fakes and still getting shots up, and he never his jump shot. I mean, Larry Bird's jump shot is just like those two. It's like a half an inch off the off the ground. That is a pretty good comp. You know, it's easier to comp players like that. It's hard to comp a LeBron James to back. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think if there's somebody in the NBA right now that reminds me of Kobe, and I don't think do you have one that
I think that Devin Booker and Jason Tatum, they both kind of, you know, draw from.
I can agree with that. Jason Tatum is a different cat, and I think he's different than Devin Booker too because of the defense that kid plays.
Mm-hmm,
I mean, he is an amazing defensive player. And it's nice to see the other night that him and Jaylen Brown have figured it out. You know, it was always they were going to trade one of them. And, you know, the easy one to trade is Jason Tatum. I don't think Jaylen Brown is Jason Tatum, but I don't think Jason Tatum's Jaylen Brown either. And I think that Boston finally realized, hey, the best thing that you have there is they can give each other, after they play together, then they can give each other blows on during the whole game and just have one of them on the floor at certain amount of times. Mm-hmm. And it gives them something that a lot of teams don't have, two guys that can score from all over.
Yeah. And I'll eat crow a little bit on, I think I said this maybe when I was on here last, that, you know, I didn't know if Marcus Smart, because I still don't think that he's like a true point guard.
No.
But he's
between, tough as nails,
yeah, he can, I mean, he gets, you know, 10 plus assists. I mean, he sees the court.
Not scared of anything either.
He's probably the most grittiest player. I mean, he is everywhere.
I agree with that. I always thought I would be leery because of the turnovers, and he doesn't turn the ball over any more than anybody else does.
And if he does, he makes up for it on the defensive side.
Right. And turnovers, I don't even think turnovers matter in the NBA anymore. I don't think they care. We sat last night and watched that Minnesota Memphis game. That was the ugliest basketball game I've ever seen in my life. It was horrible.
Yeah.
I didn't even want to watch it.
Mm-hmm. At least they were making shots, though.
Ruining my meal.
Yeah, but at least they're not like the Jazz where they shoot. I mean, they made three-pointers. I think they shot maybe 10% from the three-point range. It's like you can't do that in even come close to competing in the NBA. Maybe you can get by with it in, you know, college hoops, but you're going to die from the three.
Earlier on this show that Karl Anthony Towns is the most overrated basketball player I've ever seen in my life. He's a crybaby. He has too many turnovers. He doesn't know how to be a good. He doesn't know how to be a good teammate because he doesn't pass well. He travel. I mean, everything he does. And the worst thing, he complains. Everything.
Yeah.
Now, granted, he's probably not the biggest loser in the NBA, but he's not fun to watch. I don't think he would. Now, Anthony Edwards, Jason, right? That cat's gonna be a good player. Yeah.
And I think that my biggest issue with Karl Anthony Towns is he fouls way too much. I think that he's leading the NBA in fouls.
Yeah.
This
so
year.
He's not there for his team. On a lot of times he has to sit. I like the comparison of Ja Morant and Alvin Iverson.
I like the Ja and Derrick Rose.
And Derrick Rose. Yeah. I think Ja Morant might be. Now, I agree with you on the before knee injury, Derrick Rose. Mm-hmm. But Derrick Rose was thicker. Ja Morant's just a stick. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's got to get bigger. He's got to work.
He's 20.
But he's fun to watch. That's what you got. Jason Tatum's 22.
Yeah, I think he's just a little bit older than me. I think he's like 24, maybe 24. But when I was watching him in the playoffs, when I was in college, maybe I was just gotten into college, and he's playing in the Eastern Conference Finals against LeBron, and he meets Bron at the rim on defense, blocks him, and I just go, that guy's my age, blocking LeBron James in the Eastern Conference Finals. Doesn't make sense.
Yes, it is. And I agree with you, Devin Booker. I like Devin Booker as well. I still think the best player in the league is Giannis.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he just does so many things. And I remember last year, we can't shoot free throws. Okay, he's better. Well, he doesn't get to the hole and finish. He gets to the hole and finish. And now he can hit. He doesn't hit 50% threes, but he hits 40%. Mm-hmm. And if you have to guard him out there, and the thing that's crazy about him, he can take, maybe he has to take two dribbles and then one more thing, and he's at the rim. He is so long. Yeah. And after winning and going through drive-throughs and doing all, he's probably the most likable person in the NBA.
Yeah, yeah. He doesn't complain. He's just a nice guy.
Yeah.
In his press conferences after the game, he's never, you know, pulling the Popovich. I mean, I love Pop, but he, you know.
Yeah, he just doesn't want to talk to people.
You don't like hearing that. But,
no. I agree, I've not always thought that about Giannis, but he grew on me. And then after winning and now seeing how hard he's playing harder this year than he did last year, and he already won one.
Yeah.
To be a great all-time player, he already has the stats. You need a championship. He already has that. And it looks like
he's got two of those.
Yep, and he wants more. And I think that's what...
And it's all going to be with Milwaukee, too.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere.
He's going to be there.
He likes it there. Yeah. He's got to, you know what, and he'll keep his brother there for 1.5 or whatever they're paying him, and that makes him happy. Yeah. That's going to be a very interesting team. They still need, you would think that somebody would want to come there and just, I'm a free agent, maybe I don't need as much money, but I could go play with that cat for a couple of years and then go back out and get some more money. Because they give him somebody that could run with him. Because I told, what was the guy? It wasn't Mario Ellis. Who was the guy that left that's now playing with
PJ Tucker?
PJ Tucker. Mm-hmm. He misses PJ Tucker because people didn't pick on Giannis last year or bump him or do any of that because they knew the next time they came through a screen, PJ Tucker was going to knock him out. You know, he needs that guy.
I think that Brook Lopez, I mean
he's been good for that.
I mean he fills that spot. I mean, he was still playing the five when PJ Tucker was there.
Right.
But he can still, I mean, he's aggressive.
I like watching him play too.
And he can shoot too. I mean,
and their coach fits that team. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a team that's going to be there for a while. And
Grayson Allen setting up too. I mean, he's come to the plate. I mean, I did not think that Grayson Allen would be able to do much in the NBA.
I didn't either.
And I think that he's made 15 threes in the last three games.
How old Giannis? 24? 25?
I think he might have just turned 27.
That's still 27.
Yeah. ridiculous.
With not a lot of mileage, because just not a lot of he didn't play, 80 game or 120 games in college basketball before he came. Mm-hmm.
And the NBA won't do it, but I think that Giannis should win his third MVP this year.
No, I think they're going to give it to Jokic, and I think I would have given it to Embiid, because I think that's the I think he had the least amount of talent and was winning in an Eastern Conference that was pretty tough. I don't know. I agree with you, though. Until somebody beats Giannis, I think Giannis deserves the award.
You didn't let me get into my Nets hate, but I'll take care of that next time I come on.
Okay. You're always welcome. Yeah. You're not very far away.
Yeah, you're right.
And I have some Nets hate, too. I just get tired of saying it. You have been listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Puts a smile on my face when I get to have the boys come in here. Talk to you guys tomorrow.
Here's a look at traffic on 101.3.